Your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, and trust that everyone will be able to attend to what is said this morning. You know, the devil hates it when the Word of God goes forth. Amen. He doesn't want you to hear it. He doesn't want people to preach it. He wants it to be kept quiet, and I think we're going to break. We're going to do things right today, and not do what he wants, but what God wants by telling you what the Bible says. It's not what the pastor says, it's what the Bible says. We have been in Hebrews for an awfully long time. We're just about done. We're going to go through verse 17 this morning, and then just a few little details at the end, and we'll be finishing up Hebrews here in the next week or so. But this passage in chapter 13, I'm going to begin this morning in verse 15 and look at three verses. And I did not time it so that this would be on Thanksgiving weekend, but look, if you will, in verse 13, at the end of that verse, he says that we should, let me read the whole verse. He says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Amen. Thanksgiving weekend, a good thought there, of thanksgiving. But there is a word that appears two times in this passage, and then another word that's similar to it, and that's that word sacrifice. Look at verse 15, it says sacrifice. In verse 16, it says sacrifices. And in verse 17, there's a word submit, and we'll talk about those three words here in just a minute. Let's just think about sacrifices for a second. Sacrifice. Got a few young people coming in. The Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. We will never, ever be able to come close to the sacrifice that God gave for us. Right. And the Bible says that he did that because he loved us. The sacrifice that God gave for us is a measure of God's love. The Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Amen. So when you want to see the love of God, if you want to understand the magnitude or the size of God's love, you look at the sacrifice that he gave for you and I. That God gave his Son to die and pay for our sins. How much does God love us? He loves us, as someone said, this much, that Christ would die on the cross for our sins. And in this passage, the sacrifice that's being talked about is what you and I might sacrifice for God. Now, you remember in the Old Testament that the sacrifices were plentiful. They sacrificed animals, and they would take an animal that they owned, and they would bring that animal to the priest, and the priest would offer that animal as an offering to God. And it was merely a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the blood of bulls and goats is not what pays for sins, but it's the blood of Christ that pays for our sins. But they would take something that was theirs, and they would give it to God. I love to look up the definitions of words, and here's just a brief paraphrase definition of a sacrifice. Sacrifice is when you surrender a possession as an offering to God. Something that you could have kept for yourself, but rather than keep it, you give it to the Lord. And the sacrifices that he's talking about here in verses 15 and 16 and even in 17 are not sacrifices that are free. They are going to cost us something. It's not really a sacrifice if it doesn't cost you anything. You know, you're driving down the road and you see something on the side of the road and you pick it up and you sell it and give the money to God. Well, I guess in a sense you could say it was your money for a while, but the truth is the things that really make a difference are the things that we give up, our resources, our time, our will, the things that we give up, and we give them up because we love the Lord. And those are the kind of sacrifices that God deserves. And you could measure the love, just as you can measure God's love by what he gave, you can measure our love by what we give. What are we willing to give to God? Someone says, you know, I'm so glad that Jesus died and paid for my sins. And now I think what I'll do is just keep all of my time and all of my talents and all of everything I have for me and not give anything to God. I would have to question whether or not you love God. If you love God, you're going to give Him something. Amen? Now, please don't limit this to money. Money is just a small portion of what we're talking about. In fact, he doesn't mention money in this passage, although, of course, money is part of our sacrifices. But a sacrifice is something that we have, that we give up, we give it to God to demonstrate our love for him. And so let's look at this passage. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'll read verses 15, 16, and 17, have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at the three sacrifices mentioned here in these verses. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you that we have this place, this time, the Word of God, the opportunity to spend a few moments proclaiming what the Bible says. Lord, I pray for each one here that they would be able to hear and to receive what is said and that they would understand that these things come from you and not from me. And I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and that the cross would be magnified, the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified, and Lord, that you would guide and direct, and that when we come to the end of the service, that the Holy Spirit could use these words in the Word of God to affect and change our lives, every one of us. I pray now you'd bless us, protect us, be with those that could not be here today. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So the question is, as we offer these sacrifices that are described in these three verses, is how much do we love God? And if we love God, are we willing to give them? And let's break these down. The question is, do we love God enough, first of all, enough to speak? And that's what he's talking about there in verse 15. He says, "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips." Undoubtedly, he's talking about things that we say. A couple of things about thanksgiving. He says specifically giving thanks. I want you to know that the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything we should give thanks. You may or may not understand that is a prescription for mental health. And here's what I mean by that. Everything that comes into your life, every event, every happy thing, every sad thing, and we describe them in those terms at least, every event that takes place in our life, God has control over those events. Now, there are going to be some happy times, and we sure undoubtedly, I think many of us enjoyed a happy time here at Thanksgiving. We had a chance to be with family and with friends and to enjoy good food and just to enjoy Thanksgiving. That came from God, amen? The fact that we have family, that we had a place to meet and that we had the food to eat and so forth, that came from God, and we thank God for that. But there may have been this week, some of us may have received what we call bad news. Maybe something happened that caused a financial loss, or maybe someone that is close to you suffered some kind of difficulty. Some people have passed away recently, loved ones, parents and such. And then, of course, there are folks that are ill. I think of Dan Ball and others that are ill. And we think of those things, and we think those are not things that we would have chosen for our life. But what we need to understand is God chose them for our life. That's kind of hard to comprehend sometimes. In everything, give thanks. I have a little Bible program on my phone, and it gives me a verse for the day. And the verse for the day a couple of days ago was kind of shocking, and I don't recall the reference. It was in the Psalms, but David in Psalm 119 says he thanks God for his afflictions because God uses them to teach us his statutes. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Here's what it means. When you and I have trouble, that's when we go to God. That's when we really can have power in prayer, and when we really can have fervency and urgency in prayer. It's when we need something, amen? When everything is provided and everything is going well, sadly, we tend to step back from God and not remember our need for him. But God allows everything into our life to keep us close to him. And if you and I, and we're all included in this, if we will understand everything that comes into our life, God is in control. Thank him for it. When you're giving thanks for the things that happen in your life and you're recognizing that they come from God and that you can trust God and that God has a purpose in them, it makes life a whole lot more enjoyable. When I was in high school, when I was a freshman, I was the smallest boy in my freshman class. I was a little bitty guy. And when I was in the ninth grade, my parents moved from one town to another. And when we got there, the only PE class that was available to me was to work out with the football team. This is not a good plan. Pastor Schaefer has never been a football player, and I'm a lot bigger than I was then. In fact, a whole lot bigger. But anyway, I went to work out with the football team, and you know, it hurt. It hurt. I didn't like getting hit. I didn't like running. I didn't like a lot of things that happened. But I found out something, learned some more about this when I was in the Army, and that is I had a drill sergeant, and his phrase was like this. We'd be running, and we'd be, Sergeant, this hurts. He said, you're not hurt. If you're not bleeding, you're not hurting, you're not trying hard enough. Now keep on running. You know how I'm talking about. When you build muscle, it takes some pain. Now, that's just a simple principle in life. The Bible describes this in Ecclesiastes. We need both types of time. We need the happy times and the sad times in our life to properly build us for the things God wants to do with us. And if you didn't understand that, you can understand this. Just as he says here in verse 15, and just as he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, just thank God for everything. It came from him. Say, Pastor, I can't understand. Someone has cancer. God knows. God could have prevented it. God has a purpose in it. Say, Pastor, someone I love has passed away. God has a purpose in it. Say, Pastor, someone has gained great financial blessings or they've been healed or whatever. Praise the Lord. It all comes from God. Amen? Now, back to my outline here. The sacrifice, when we thank God, when everything's going well, we thank God, that doesn't cost us a whole lot. Say, Pastor, when would it cost me something to thank God? Well, there's a couple of times. One of them is this. Can you thank God in the presence of the ungodly? Yes. Amen? Amen. They're not going to like that too well. Fact is, another verse of the day I read recently talks about the fact that the righteous are an abomination to the wicked. The fact that we trust God is offensive to some people. That's okay. I trust my Creator. Amen. Amen. He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay for my sins. And I trust Him and I love Him. And I'm not going to shy away from saying something about it. Have you ever said, and maybe you developed, like some of us have, you developed this habit of saying amen a whole lot? Or praise the Lord? And then you find yourself in a situation around a bunch of lost people. And you say, praise the Lord. And they look at you kind of like, what? You know what? Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. If it costs you something to praise God, all the better, just praise the Lord. Amen. When you go out to eat, pray for your food. If somebody sees you, amen. Amen. When you're at work and Christmas time comes, I don't even have to think about this anymore. If somebody says happy holidays to me, my response is Merry Christmas. Amen. Amen. Well, that might offend somebody, Pastor. Look, I'm not trying to offend anybody. Jesus died to pay for their sins. Jesus died to pay for your sins. He died to pay for my sins. You know why he did that? Because I can't save myself. Someone says, all those Christians, they're just hypocrites. No, they're not. They're just wicked sinners saved by faith. Amen. There's nothing hypocrite there. We're sinners. And Christ died to save us. And he also died to change us. And he will change your life if you'll let him. But don't believe the devil's lie that it's about us. It's not about us. It's about Christ. Do you love the Lord enough to speak? Enough to speak about him, to praise him when it would cost you something? That's one of the best times to praise the Lord. It certainly extends all the way to presenting the gospel when you go door to door. But something smaller than that. I had a lady this week ask me this question. She was very sincere about it. I told her I was a pastor, and she said, do you believe that our spirit lives after our body dies? Well, the obvious answer is yes. But it doesn't matter what I believe. That's what the Bible says. And that's what I said to her very kindly. I said, the Bible says that it does. And if you're not going to go to the Bible as your source of truth, I don't know where you're going to go. You know, your own idea of what is truth, if as you live longer and longer, you realize when I thought something was right, sometimes I'm dead wrong. When I thought somebody else was right, sometimes they're wrong. But when this Bible is read, it's always right. Every bit of it. Amen? Do we love the Lord enough to speak, to say something to someone, to praise him, even when it's going to cost us something, even when it won't be popular, to thank him even when it hurts? I'm hurting, and yet I can thank the Lord for that. If you will learn to do that, it is a recipe for mental health, because then you understand something. I'm not poor, pitiful me who's suffering and didn't get what I want. I am in the hands of God, and he can do with me as he pleases. Amen? Yeah. Paul and Silas are in prison. They have been beaten. They are in stocks. It is midnight. It is dark. I'm sure other prisoners around them were moaning and suffering, and I'm sure they were suffering, and their backs were bleeding, and their legs hurt, and they were in a filthy, ugly, dark place. And what did they do? They sang praises to the Lord. And you know what happens when you sing praises to the Lord in a dark place? That's when the doors get opened. That's when the chains come off. The devil would like to chain you up and would like to close you in and like to have you in that dark, miserable place feeling sorry for yourself. Just thank God and see what God can do. Amen. Now, don't forget this. If you are saved, he's your father. Amen? Amen. He's not just going to look on and say, well, that's nice. God's going to do something in your life. Do you love the Lord enough to speak? Well, okay, let's look at a second thing here. Look at verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. He says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We saw the sacrifice in verse 15. He calls it the fruit of our lips. It's the things that we say. Now in verse 16, it's the things that we do. You know what? If you're going to do something for God, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some time. It's possibly going to cost you some money or some resources or some sort. It certainly is going to cost you perhaps something you would have done instead. But do we love the Lord enough to serve him even when it costs us something? Somebody says, well, you know, Pastor, when everything else is done and I've got plenty of free time, then I'll go on visitation. I hope you do, but that's not when we go on visitation. We go on visitation every Tuesday night at 5:30. Say, Pastor, that's not convenient. It's not a question of convenience. That's the time we go. And we do the best we can to make it convenient. Someone says, Pastor, I'm just too busy to serve God. Then you're too busy. Amen? Wow, it's getting quiet, brother. I better move on. You know what? The Bible says here, to do good and to communicate, forget not. Now, let's talk about that word communicate just a little bit. We know the word communicate is when I convey or you convey some idea to somebody else. In other words, when we speak, that's a form of communication. But if you understand the most powerful communication, what was that saying we have? Actions worth 1,000 words? Amen? And a picture's worth 1,000 words, but an action surely is. Don't just say that you're going to do it. Do what you say you're going to do. I can tell for the most part, how much someone loves God by what they're willing to do for Him. I can tell how much someone cares about eternity by the way they live their life. It's pretty easy to see. If someone spends all of their time and all of their energy collecting things for this world, then this world is where their treasure is. But if someone serves God, and if someone is willing to sacrifice their time and their resources so that they can serve God, that communicates something to me and to you that shows where our heart really is. I had a fellow come to me one time in Maryland, and he was a hard worker. He was a taxi driver. He served subpoenas. He did everything he could to provide for his family, and he was still having a hard time getting by. And he came to me and he says, Pastor, he says, I think God wants me to be in the ministry. And I knew some things about him, and it really wasn't God's will for this man to be a pastor. That's neither here nor there. But I said this to him, if you think God wants you to be in the ministry, then minister. There's lots of opportunities to minister, amen? There's plenty of opportunities. We took some this week and we ministered to some people. And we go out and minister to these bus children. And we need folks that would minister in the nursery and minister in junior church and minister around our buildings. And there's plenty. You know what the word minister means? It means to serve. Say, Pastor, I think God wants me to serve. Actually, I know He does. Great, serve. Amen? Do something. Someone says, well, I come to church. Church is not where we serve, although please keep coming to church, amen? But church is a place where we come and we get charged and energized with the Word of God so that we can go out and serve. I just want you to know something. When you step into eternity, the words that we want to hear, and you hear the Lord Jesus Christ describe this in the Gospels, the words that we want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd like to ask you, examine your life and ask yourself, what service did you offer to God this week? Again, coming to church is great. Coming to prayer meeting is great. There is certainly service in prayer meeting when we all kneel down and pray for folks that are in need and for one another and for our missionaries. But what service did you do for God? Well, Pastor, I'm just so busy. I think there's a priority issue if we don't find service for God in our life. Amen? Now, I understand God didn't call everyone to be a full-time Christian servant, but I know this, God called every one of us to be a full-time Christian. Right. Amen? And being a Christian means serving God. He says, to do good, in verse 16, and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God understands that when I am serving Him, there's sacrifice involved. And can I ask you this, is just in general, the sacrifices, do you think you can ever give anything to God that He cannot replace with something better? Someone says, Pastor, what if I gave God too much? He can take care of that. Don't worry about it. Pastor, what if I got overcommitted? Well, that may be a different discussion, but if you're not committed at all, that's a problem. We ought to be able to willing to make a commitment to God. Amen? Amen? You look back over your life. I'm 61 years old next month. And I look back over my life. And I made some decisions in the past to do some things that cost me some time and some money and some careers and some things like that. And I gave those things to the Lord. And do you know what? God's taken good care of me. Amen. And God will take good care of you as well. Right. Someone says, well, I'm just not sure, so I'll take care of myself. Let me just remind you, God can take better care of you than you can take of you. God can provide better for you than you can provide for you. It's just plain as day here that it's a right thing to do good, to sacrifice. That is something God is pleased with. And I just finish with verse and move on. But don't you want to please God? The Bible says, I've told some of you this story, but some of you haven't heard it yet. I had the opportunity to go to a high school in Utah about 20 years ago and present some things to a religion class. And I went into this class and I gave all the students a Bible. I actually had 20 some odd Bibles that were identical. So they all had the same page numbers in them. And when I got into the class, I handed every student one of those Bibles. And if they would ask me a question, I would say, well, turn to page 400 and whatever in the Bible, and I'll read to you the answer to your question. And this one girl asked me the question, and they were not being mean. They just tried to be a little bit. One girl asked me, what's wrong with this? Why can't we do that? And they all so-so. And then after they realized I was trying to be sincere with them, they got sincere with me. And one little girl, it was a high school girl, very sincerely asked the question, why am I here? Why did God create me? You ever ask that question? Did God create you just because he didn't have anything better to do? No. Very specifically in the Revelation in chapter 4, it says, you and I were created for his pleasure. We're to please him. When? Sunday morning from 11 to 12? No, all the time. How? Well, one way is to serve him right there in verse 15. Amen? He makes it very clear. Well, Pastor, or verse 16, Pastor, I don't want to serve him. I know it's going to cost you something, but can I tell you something? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. The service that you do for God, it's funny. When you finish, you look back at it and you go, that shouldn't have been that easy. That shouldn't have been that rewarding. I don't understand why when I finished serving God, it doesn't seem like I had to do anything at all. It was just a blessing. Amen? Amen. We met here on Tuesday afternoon. And we took some gift baskets to wind up being eight different families. And we took these gift baskets to these families. It was a lot of you folks gave the food, and we assembled the baskets, and a good number of folks turned out Tuesday to do that. And at first, I was a little anxious. I thought, what if not enough folks show up, and what if we don't have enough of this or enough of that? We had way too much. Not way too much, but we had more than we needed. And we divided it all out, and we took it to these people. And at the end of the night, one family wasn't home at 5:45, and so Eva and Antonio and I sat in my car in front of their house. I'm not letting them get away without a free turkey, amen? You're going to get this turkey one way or another. And we sat there, and they came home about 6:25. And we gave them the turkey. They were so glad to receive it. And a couple of folks talked about coming to church. And it was at the end of the night, I thought to myself, this is so easy. Folks, serving God is not a burden. It's a blessing. Amen. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. If you see serving God as some horrible, dark, terrible, difficult thing that is not rewarding, you see it wrong. The devil's got you. You need to believe what God said. It is something that is a blessing. Now, finally, and let's look at this third thing. Do we love God enough to speak? Do we love God enough to serve? And do we love God enough to submit? Let me read verse 17, and we'll see what we can find here in the Word of God. He says, obey them that have the rule over you. Let's just stop right there for a minute. God established authority, did he not? The Bible, for example, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children should obey their parents. Oh, I have some subjects down here. Amen? These young people should obey their parents. Oh, we have some more. But you know what? That's God's plan. God knew something, and that is, God knew that young people needed help. Some people think raising a child simply consists of feeding them and clothing them and sending them off to school. No, they need help. I used to be one, I know. And we don't, when we're young people, we don't make very good decisions sometimes. We need help. We need somebody. And by the way, just because you're 18 doesn't suddenly mean magically you don't need help anymore. I remember when I was in my 30s and 40s calling my dad and saying, Dad, help. I don't know what to do. And you know, no matter how old you get, your parents have already been a little further down the road. And so you say, well, Pastor, I'm 40. Well, then maybe your parents are 20 years down the road from you. They can still help you. Since when did we come to the place where we all of a sudden know more than our parents? It doesn't happen as far as I can tell. Maybe if they're not saved and you get saved, that may apply. But anyway, undoubtedly, God establishes authority so that the people that God has put in those positions can be a help to those that they lead. And that's the whole goal behind leading people. I was in the Army. I was a second lieutenant in the Army infantry, and I had authority over 30 men. And I never thought of it as, oh, good, I get to tell 30 guys what to do. It was always a responsibility. There is an old silly saying in the military, rank has its privileges. I had this first sergeant that wrote that on the board, R-H-I-P. And this old fella had been in Vietnam and was a decorated war hero. And here we were, some 20-something-year-old college students, and he's telling us what it's going to be like to be an officer. And he says to us, he says, I want you to know when you are an officer that you need to change this. It's not rank has its privileges. He put a leg on that P on the end. He says, rank has its responsibilities. Amen. Now watch the verse. Look what he says here. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Now let's just pause there and see what he's saying. In other words, the people in responsibility, the people in leadership, have accountability for those that they lead. Amen? Amen? Now, let's talk about parents for a minute. What can parents do? Parents can give their children the Word of God. Amen. And they can give it to them in such quality and quantity that that child is at that point able to decide whether or not to obey the Word of God, but they better know what it says. You ought to have your children in church. Amen? You ought to have your children in church all the time. Amen? You ought to have your children in Sunday school. You ought to have a Bible devotion in your home with your children and read the Bible to them. They ought to know the Bible. Now, you cannot make them accept the Bible, but the Bible gives us a promise that when they're old, they won't turn from it. I've known children that left and came back. Amen? And undoubtedly, the Bible's promises are true. So there is an accountability that comes with leadership. And you and I should understand that in regard to parents, in regard to pastors, in regard to teachers, in regard to those people that God places in authority, that there ought to be obeyed. And I've always believed in my heart when I was in the military, for example, when I led that platoon of infantrymen in the Army, my thought was this: their welfare is in my hands. I have to, in the Army, there would be times when they would try to find some unit to do some really miserable job. And the lieutenant that would submit his men to that kind of work, maybe he'd get some brownie points with the colonel. I didn't want brownie points with the colonel. I wanted to care for my men. I wanted my unit to be taken care of and to get fed and to get to sleep and to do the job well and to be trained right. And that was my job. And I saw it that way. And I still see it that way with the church. Amen? Folks, I care about you. And I want you to hear the Word of God, to understand what it means, and to choose to follow the Lord. I can't make you follow the Lord, but I can sure encourage you to. You say, Pastor, what would you like for us to do? Well, here's a short list. Be faithful to church. It'd be great. Amen? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling. Some people come to church once in a while. That's not faithful. Please be faithful to church. I would like to see you grow in the Lord. I'd like to see you be soul winners. I'd like to see you support missionaries. I'd like to hear every one of you, when you get to heaven, hear the Lord say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the best thing I can do to bring you to that point is to guide you and direct you in what the Bible has to say. And then prayerfully, you'll decide to follow, and praise God for those that do. I know that there are those that do. Do you love the Lord enough to speak? Do you love Him enough to serve? Do you love Him enough to submit? He concludes this passage. He says at the end of verse 17, that they may do it with joy, talking about the leaders. You should make the leader joyful and not discouraged, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And here's what he says there at the end of the verse. Apply this to children, for example. A child that decides to disobey their parents and do what they want to do, that's not profitable. That's not going to help them. It's going to hurt them. The person that says, I don't care what the pastor says, I'm going to do it my way, that's not profitable. It is important for us to follow the authority God's placed over us. Now, I'll take a little interesting twist here and we'll be done. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 that God ordained the higher powers. Talking about government. He's talking about the government. God, it was God's will for men to be governed. It was God's will for men to be governed by God. And if you follow the history of the Old Testament, you can see how God did it. He had men that were in fellowship with him that led the people, men like Moses, men like Joshua. And then he had the judges, once again, men that were listening to God and leading the people. And you know of those people, people like Samson and people like Jephthah. We've been studying them on Wednesday night. And then he ordained a king, and he made Saul the king, and then David the king. But let me tell you what, in eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ will be our king. Amen. We will always have authority over us. That's God's plan. I do not agree with everything the government does, but I respect the government. I pray for the government. I honor the government. And I'll just step out of the pastor's shoes for 10 seconds here and say something. It disgusts me when people spend all their time attacking the government instead of trying to make our nation a better nation. It's just really disgusting. Because let me tell you what, anybody here can say, oh, I'd do a better job. No, you wouldn't. And trust me, what you see today is a whole lot of people that are angry and violent and willing to break the law and use foul language and anything else they can to attack our government. That is not profitable for our nation. And in the end, it will destroy us if it doesn't get changed. I don't think we have to agree with the personality of all the leaders or their morality for that matter. But the Bible says, pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Amen? Amen? That's the place where we start to make the changes. All right. So the sacrifice, something that you surrender as an offering to God. Or do we love him enough to sacrifice for him? Is he worth enough that we would speak, that we would serve, that we would submit, that we would give him our time, our words, our ability? Or maybe some people just have themselves as their own God. You're sacrificing to something. You know, we get up in the morning, for example, maybe, and we go to work. And you work hard all day, and you sweat, and you toil, and you come home, and you're dirty, and you're tired, and you did that to make some money. And there's nothing wrong with work, and there's nothing wrong with making money. But if it's all for you, there's something wrong with that. And if your whole life is making things and getting things and doing things for you, there's something wrong with that. We love the Lord, amen? He loved us so much. Please hear me when I say this. He loved us so much. He gave his only begotten Son. And when Jesus hung on that cross, he did not die for his sins. He had no sins. He died for your sins and for my sins. And when he died for those sins, he paid for every last one of them. And the Bible is very, very clear. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It is not what I do that saves my soul from hell. It's what I believe. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And just as he saved me, he can save any of you. I heard a story the other day from one of our Sunday school workers, and she said that there was a girl in Sunday school that wasn't saved. And the other girls in the class were saying, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. If a little child knows that and is willing to say that, we should be as well. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand and pray.